mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, the 19th chapter of St. Luke, verses 41 to 44. And when Jesus drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." The story of our Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday is one of the most familiar events in the life of the Savior. Jesus riding on the humble donkey, the joyful crowd waving palms and olive branches and crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." But the gospel for this day is a less familiar portion of the story of that first Palm Sunday. St. Luke tells us that as the procession of Christ and joyful pilgrims came to the crest of the Mount of Olives, the city of Jerusalem could be seen. And it was then when Jesus saw the city of Jerusalem that he burst into tears, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." And so I ask, do I know the things that make for peace in our own lives, in the life of the church, in the life of the city we live in the country of which we are citizens? Do you and I know the things that make for peace? Or, like Jerusalem, are they now hidden from our eyes? Jesus not only saw before him the city of Jerusalem with its splendid temple, he also saw in spirit the fate that would befall it a short 40 years later. He says, "For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." And so, only a short 40 years later, the Roman legions besieged Jerusalem for 5 long months, and then finally destroyed the city with fire and sword. And why did the Romans do that? Because the people of Jerusalem had risen up against their Roman masters in an utterly futile attempt to free themselves from the Roman oppression. They simply did not know the things make for peace. They did not recognize the day of their visitation, meaning that day when the Son of God himself came in great love calling them to repentance and offering them pardon and peace. To be sure, on that first Palm Sunday, they did welcome the Lord Jesus and acclaim him as the Son of David, the Messiah, but they did not understand what kind of Messiah he is. They simply couldn't see that they were a far greater danger to themselves than were their Roman masters. Liberation from the Romans was what they wanted. And when Jesus didn't offer them that kind of liberation, that kind of salvation, they turned against him and demanded his death. And their delusion is seen with unmistakable clarity on the morning of the first Good Friday. Then the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, as was customary at the feast of the Passover, offered to release one prisoner to them, Jesus or Barabbas. But the Jerusalem crowds demanded that Pilate release to them not Jesus, but Barabbas, who was in prison because of having taken part in a bloody insurrection. They chose not Jesus, the Prince of Peace. They chose a man with blood on his hands. You might say, a first century terrorist. And in that fateful choice, the doom of the city was sealed. So I ask you again, do I know the things that make for peace, or are they hidden from our eyes? St. Paul writes with such clarity and simplicity, the wages of sin is death. And so it was for Jerusalem and its people, for whom the Son of God had wept bitter tears. God does not desire the death of any sinner, for he is the God who, as the church prays in the appointed prayer for this Sunday, the God who shows his almighty power above all in showing mercy and pity. He shows his almighty power above all in showing mercy and pity. In Jesus, we see this so clearly, so simply. He permits himself to be betrayed, arrested, unjustly condemned, scourged, nailed to the cross, and buried. And there on the cross, as the innocent Lamb of God, he suffers all that we and the whole lost world of sinners have deserved by our sins. On the third day, he rises from the dead and appears to the frightened disciples who had abandoned him and utterly failed him, not with a word of condemnation, but with the word of peace. Peace be to you, he says, and shows them his hands and his side. As St. Paul says, he is our peace. He is our peace. One of the ancient fathers of the church had this to say: that heart is hard which will not be softened by benefits, nor terrified by threats, nor moved by promises. That heart is hard which will not be softened by benefits, nor terrified by threats, nor moved by promises. In the heart of ancient Jerusalem was a hard heart. Its people did not know the things that make for peace. They did not recognize the time of their visitation, the time when God himself came among them for their temporal and eternal good. And so I ask yet again, do you, do I know the things that make for peace? Or are they even now hidden from our eyes? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.